Yeah, that's me. I'm filling in for Jimmy Lakey today. Well, Jimmy takes another a day off after 2 days after his birthday. I was reading his Facebook page and it says, you know, it's a birthday week. The neat thing is I share a birthday month with Jimmy Lakey. Mine is earlier. I already had it. Not telling you which day, but it has a one in it. That should tell you a lot right there. Anyway, happy birthday to Jimmy Lakey, and I hope he is enjoying his extra well-deserved day off before he heads off to Africa. I'll be with you on the 25th of November. Jazzed about that. Looking forward to picking the guests for that show. But right now, we have Rabbi Raphael Liban, who I've actually known for a very long time. I don't get a chance to see him and talk to him as much as I'd like. And it's just, let me tell you a little word about Rabbi Liban, and then we'll get to the reason I decided to have him on, which is a conversation we were going to have off the air. And then he called me, and I said, let's have the conversation on the air. So here is our guest. He has been 2 decades here in Denver. Not here in Denver, because we're not in Denver, but he's in Denver. Rabbi Raphael, I love that name, Liban, who is originally from Virginia. He's the author of Torah Today, a popular series of commentaries on the weekly Parsha. That's portion. That's a portion of a Torah, of a section of Torah. He's also the managing director of the Jewish Experience, which does outreach and community programs. And that's usually to fellow Jews, because as you probably know, Jews don't really proselytize their religion to non-Jews, but they do like to educate other Jews. And as I am fond of saying, it's not up to Gentiles to keep Jews Jewish, it's up to Jews to keep Jews Jewish. And that's what Rabbi Raphael Liban does. Welcome to 600 KCOL, Rabbi.
Thank you very much, Karen. Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, he's so circumspect and kind and soft-spoken. I'm sorry. Rabbi, it is great to talk to you. I've known you for a very long time, and you've been nothing but kind and wonderful. I even remember when I was so distraught at 9/11. Yeah, I mean, it was amazing, and that was the first introduction I think I ever had to you was I was devastated because, well, I mean, who wasn't? And I, Nonetheless, we move forward, and it's always a fight to fight for freedom and America. So you've got this program, which I've been billboarding a little bit on the show earlier today, called Clean Speech Colorado. Tell us about this. You've been doing a bunch of media all around town, and I sent you an email telling you that I had some concerns about this program. And tell us what it is and why you decided to do it.
Sure thing. Pleasure. The Clean Speech Colorado campaign that we're really in the middle of, it's this month of November, is a education and awareness month about the practice of mindful speech. It is a really a long time value of significance to us, a thousands of year old value, that we refrain from something called Lashon Hara, which I'll, the Hebrew term I'll define for you. And that means hurtful or harmful speech. And it's a problem that causes unfortunate breakdown in peaceful relationships and within families, within communities, and beyond. It's a very issue of great significance to us, and it has been for a long, long time. So in recent, I guess, months, maybe even years, here in America, there's been a very great sense, I think, that there's a lack of civility and there's been a real polarization and bitterly so. And if I heard another story of family members who couldn't continue speaking to each other because they're so just divided on issues, they're so upset with each other and the dialogue between them took such a bitter tone that they just drove them apart, sort of such a wedge. It literally broke families, broke friendships.
Yeah.
And so we decided that we would do a community campaign and really bring this beautiful value and issue to the forefront of community attention in a way that would bring people back together educationally. That's, as you mentioned, that's what the organization, the Jewish Experience, I'm the managing director, and that's what we do and have done. I've been here 17 years. It's how long I've known you. We felt that this was really a timely, it's always a value, but it's a very particularly timely one.
Okay.
So, We convened this campaign. We've got about 60 different organizations, which for Jewish Colorado organizations is really represents a tremendous spread of very different affiliations, perspectives, politically, religiously, whether it's synagogues, Jewish schools, Jewish community centers, Jewish action organizations, cultural organizations of all kinds. And when we came in, we said, you know, this is a topic of mutual significance, concern, and interest. Let's participate together and let's gather our constituencies and see if we can't get tens of thousands of our community brethren and okay. brothers and sisters to think about this for the period of the month. We had tremendous positive feedback. Really, nobody said no. Everybody said, of course, that's something that we'll do together as one, as a whole, as a unit, as a community.
Okay. So, Rabbi, I just want to dive right in because we don't have a lot of time and there's so many fascinating issues. I used to teach communications and public speaking and that sort of thing. And there's so many arenas of communication. There's personal relationships, which you mentioned. And then there's the public sector of communication. And I would like to focus on that for a minute since that's kind of what I do. I exercise my First Amendment rights every day when I do talk radio and when I write op-eds and what have you. So in the public sphere, was there a reason that you decided to do this now? Why now? Any particular thing? And then in about 2 minutes, we have to take a break, and hopefully you can stay with us for a second segment.
Sure.
Thanks.
Just real briefly, as I mentioned, I think that that's very timely in general. There's such a sense of need for focus on the tone of discourse in the country and in the community. November actually was a great month for us. We don't have any holidays. I mean, Thanksgiving is there, but no Jewish holidays, and all the kids are in school, and all the organizations are up and running. So it just made it a good opportune time for us to get a whole month so we could do something consistently.
Yeah.
So that was a timeliness. But
thank you.
I think that as mentioned, you know, we have a lot going on in our country and in our world, whether there are significantly different opinions and deeply held convictions about American politics, about Americans' political relationship with Israel, on and on. I think I'm happy to talk more about it with you. I think that, like you said, in terms of just familial relationships, people have to be careful not to slander or speak ill of each other, malign each other with verbally is terrible. But
yeah.
And I think it's important for us to get to maybe after the break to talk more about how Clean Speech Colorado can help us with our public discourse as well.
Yeah. Well, Rabbi, I'm going to sort of ask this question, then we'll take a break, and then you can respond, because I want people to know where I want to go with this. And we can talk more off air, but people can call you and ask you about it as well. This is going to sound like it doesn't make sense, but I read a book called Fat Lash, okay? And the point of the book, there were a lot of points to the book, but part of it was that the more my mother put me on very, very, very strict diets, the more rebellious I became, and the more I stole food in the middle of the night because I was 7. We are living in a time right now where our free speech rights are more under attack than I've ever seen them in my lifetime, when people are getting fired for saying things that are not politically correct. So to say that we need to clean up our speech, my position is that the reason people's speech has become as uncivil as it is partly because other people, some people, are telling us we are not allowed to communicate. The millennials actually don't even believe in free speech and free expression anymore, which is the very cornerstone not only of our Constitution in America, but what has allowed and enabled Jews to flourish in this country, religious pluralism and free expression. So while some people might get offended, the Constitution doesn't guarantee your right not to be offended, and yet the harder we clamp down on some of these things, the more concerned I become that people are saying, oh, you got to be nicer. Well, you know what? The response to clamping down on free speech, in my opinion, is more free speech. And if people are offended, they're going to get some consequence. But our free speech rights are gravely under attack right now. Sorry I went on so long. I'm going to give you a chance to respond to that when we come back. Thanks for joining us, Rabbi Liban. We only have him for one more section, so Karen, you got to shut up with your free speech and take a break. Hold on, can you? Thank you. And this is News Talk 600 KCOL. Stay with us. This is Karen Cataline.
Hey, Alexa, play 600 KCOL on iHeartRadio.
Karen Cataline back with you. I'm loving having Rabbi Raphael Liban from the Jewish Experience in Denver. I've known him for a long time, but I don't get the opportunity to talk to him. So here I am having the conversation I would have had with him off the air. He is heading up a project called Clean Speech Colorado. It bothers me. I don't think speech is, well, they're dirty words, but other than that, that's not true. Anyway, I'm not going to pontificate, and I think he is able to stay with us for two more segments, so let's dive right in. Before the break, I mentioned that the more you clamp down on speech, the more you get incivility. And so what do you say to that, Rabbi? You said this is what you were hoping we would talk about, and me too, so let's go for it.
I really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you about it. I actually, I had several people comment, raising the question, what I think akin to what you're asking. And the reason the questions were asked is because, of course, in this campaign, we have a month of education on this mindful speech perspective of historical perspective of ours as Jewish people. And if someone wants to go and participate, they just go to cleanspeechcolorado.org and they'll sign up, and it doesn't cost anything. And every day they'll get a short email which has an educational, thoughtful lesson with a little video they can watch or they can read the material. And the point is to for us to deepen our understanding of classical perspective on what we consider to be Lashon Hara, which is offensive, hurtful, harmful speech. And we're trying to avoid that. Now, if I got you correct, Karen, and please do correct me if I don't understand you correctly, and this was a question asked by others, that how would this relate to American freedom of speech, First Amendment rights? And so if that is something which is important for people to understand clearly how what we're saying. I believe that, as you do, I think we're on the same page very much so in that it's an important thing that we have the opportunity to speak, that we don't have laws in our country that ban us and bar us from being able to speak about things that need to be said and are important. But what I'm sure you'd also agree with me on is that within our legal freedoms to say whatever we want, we, all of us, should express restraint, not to be saying hurtful and hateful
should?
And offensive things.
What's
we don't intend
okay,
to
should?
Offend.
And what's the recourse if someone doesn't do what they are supposed to or should do? You said that we should do restraint. Well, who's gonna judge? Who gets to decide? Is it, we're living in a snowflake world in some cases where people, because they feel offended, I don't know if you've heard another very, very prominent Jewish person, Dennis Prager, who started, who put together a movie called No Safe Spaces, which I have not seen, I have to tell you, but it is about the First Amendment and about how our First Amendment rights are disappearing before our very eyes because someone says they're offended and somebody else gets fired. It isn't just I'm offended. It's up to me to decide if I'm offended. Personal responsibility be damned. It's, you know, if I don't like what you're saying, I consider words violence. Meanwhile, violence is not considered violence at all. I think we're living in an upside down world, and the last thing we have to do is clamp down on speech. Where am I wrong?
Well, not so much that my point is to prove you wrong, but my hope would be that we, very much like you're saying, we can all consider that speech is tremendously powerful, tremendously important, and the way that we wield our power of speech can make or break our relationships. It has, like you said, the power to be violent. It was an old saying that we all grew up with.
No.
Sticks and stones can break our bones. But
no,
that's
I disagree,
right.
Rabbi.
We don't agree with that.
Power, speech does not have the power to be violent. Forgive me, but I am so passionate about this issue. It's so important. It's so important in today's world. Words are not violence. Some people in the political sphere have tried to put forth the idea that there's such a thing as violent speech. Other than yelling fire in a crowded theater, which is illegal because it incites actual trampling of people and getting hurt, people have tried to suggest that words are violence. Meanwhile, the same people who think words are violence justify and apologize for real violence and say, oh, that's just a response to them being offended. We're living in a Purim world today, Rabbi, in which everything is upside down. When I talk to people on the radio, sometimes I say the reason why Jews, it's so touching, have to have the prayer on their lips is because we as Jews know the difference between action and words, action and thoughts. We're responsible for our actions. Now, yes, we're responsible for our words, but the point is that words are not violence. When people take violent action, it is their responsibility for their behavior, not the person who said a word. Am I wrong? Where am I getting it confused?
Well, I guess, Karen, that one should probably say that both being physically violent in terms of action and being, causing things to happen in a problematic way with words, I would say both have a power, and we should take issue with both. I certainly wouldn't condone acting any worse than I would condone speaking in a way that's problematic. But I think you have to credit the fact that you're a talk show host. You believe that with your words, you can affect people's opinions and you can change the world positively.
I
hope you believe that, because otherwise this would be for naught. And we do believe that as well. And so therefore, words do have effect and do have power. Let's not use the word violence if that's troubling to you, but let's recognize that what we can achieve with speech is something, and it can be positive and it could be negative.
Yeah, let me concede something.
It could break.
By way of clarification, let me concede something. I'm not against incivility. I'm not against civility. I'm not against choosing your words carefully, and I'm not against the fact that words can be hurtful to people. I'm a social worker, for heaven's sakes, and there can be certainly verbal abuse. I mean, in the sense that it can hurt people, and definitely in personal relationships. That's not what I'm saying here. Maybe I'm talking more about a culture that is clamping down on free expression, and instead of letting the public decide what is offensive, that the government cannot punish you for what you say, which is a First Amendment right. You see the distinction? The First Amendment says the government cannot punish you for what you say. The tradition of free speech in this country is treasured and absolutely precious. And only now, when the free speech of our country is actually being attacked, I think is a very poor time to be talking about clean speech. In New York City, it hasn't been tested in court. If you do not use the right pronoun in New York City, you can be fined $250,000. This is as horrible to our First Amendment rights and to freedom of religion as anything I've ever heard. So focusing on free, clean speech at a time when our First Amendment rights are literally under attack is what disturbs me. Take a minute and we'll take one more break, because this is a passionate and important conversation to have. Yes, Rabbi, go ahead.
Oh, should I wait or respond?
No. Take a minute to respond, and I'll give you some more time after the break. I got about, well, really, do you know what you're going to say? I get caught up in this. Why don't we take a break now, and I will turn it directly over to you so you can respond to what I said. Because, New York City, comment about that. How does using the wrong pronoun translate into a $250,000 fine? I mean, that just is terrifying. That never happened before. We're talking to a courageous and wonderful rabbi whom I respect to come on the air and mix it up with me. Karen Cataleen filling in for Jimmy Lakey here on News Talk 600. KCOL, stay with us.
And the sky is a hazy shade of winter. Hear the Salvation Army band. Down by the riverside, it's bound to be a better ride than what...
Filling in for Jimmy today, here's Karen Cataleen.
Thank you, Mr. Announcer. This is Karen Cataleen filling in for Jimmy Lakey. It is a Friday. Shabbos is tonight, and I'm honored and delighted to have Rabbi Raphael Lieban from the Jewish Experience in Denver. And we've known each other for a long time. And this is probably the most heated and certainly the most interesting conversation I've had the pleasure of having with him. This is so typically Jewish. I mean, it's ethnically typical that we love to discuss issues, but we don't get personal. It's just not my way. And I think that that's great to teach that sort of thing. But I ranted before the break, so I want to give the rabbi a chance to respond to what I said. Rabbi, thanks for staying with us for this final segment. Go ahead. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Karen. It is nice to talk to you after so many years of friendship.
I
didn't come, you know, today, this morning, to comment on any particular news item or issue specifically that has gone on in the country recently, but I definitely want to respond to what you said. You know, and as you beautifully just stated just now, we, both of you and I are Jewish, and within the Jewish tradition, we have really a fantastic ethic of debate. We've debated.
Yes.
We express our opinions. We even debate vehemently. And that's something that we embrace. We believe that conversation, discussion about the issues and agenda items that are important to us is critical to health of a community and to trying to seek out the best and the most correct. And so we certainly embrace that dialogue. But let me add to that, and this is part of the curriculum of Clean Speech Colorado, which anyone can freely access at cleanspeechcolorado.org and learn about, that we also in our tradition have role models for a constructive element of debate. You're a blogger, a talented writer, and radio talk show host and personality, and you know, I'm sure that with your eloquence, you can hopefully affect change in the attitudes of people who are listening today or with whom you converse. And the change, the ability for us to affect other people's opinions, is probably much, that ability is much better served, not by demeaning, their position, even though we differ with it vehemently, or ridiculing it, which really closes them off to hearing what we have to say, but rather respectfully showing them that we hear their opinion, we value them as people, even though we may differ with them. There's a saying in the Talmud that when we go into the study hall to study together, it's like war. Two people sit down across the books, and they fight with each other over the points, but when they walk out together, they're arm in arm, there's love again. We respect our fellow community members, our countrymen, even though we differ vehemently. And so Clean Speech Colorado, more than anything, is just about trying to, I would say, improve and expand and augment and embellish the fact that we have dialogue and powerful dialogue about the issues that are important to us with our passionate convictions. But it's trying to make the tone of discourse one in which we could actually have substantive conversation and even the possibility of changing one another's minds, as opposed to just throwing kind of vitriol at each other, which really doesn't get anybody anywhere, and it closes down the other party to listening to what we have to say. If we could be more respectful with the tone of, we can have all the discourse we want more productively.
I think, Rabbi, that those are wonderful values, and we only have about 4 minutes left, and I would like, as best I can, to drill down and try to be succinct. Again, I promised you I wouldn't ask you to be partisan. Part of what I do is commentary. I am a commentator, not a reporter, and proud of it. When issues are so dire, so grave, when there is propaganda that is so profound, and yes, words are powerful, when there's propaganda, as an example, against the Jewish people that is inaccurate, wrong, and you have to cut through that with words, not with violence, when our freedoms, our very freedoms are at stake in this country and our way of life, with a propaganda. And again, you don't have to comment on this, but I will. I believe we are living in historically dangerous times today, in which if you use words that make people sit up and take notice, in the public sphere, you have a better chance of turning that around. I'm not suggesting being, there's so much to talk about here, but do you know what I'm saying? I'm saying that there is
a dangerous
time in which our very freedoms are at stake and under attack. So if I use strong language, the last thing I want to hear is that I ought to clean up my speech and be nice. My particular opinion, I'm speaking just for me, Republicans in general are way too nice. And Jews are often too nice when they are being smeared and maligned and people are getting hurt because of it. So words are not my problem. I mean, I think we have to fight back harder and stronger. Does that mean you call names and use ad hominem attacks? That doesn't work. But strong language? Yes, definitely. You get the last word.
Well, I think that if our goal together, and this, I think we're on the same page, Karen, is if our goal is to express ourselves in a way that brings the world to a better place, where we can get past some of the incredible offenses that we see, we're going to do so most successfully by making our opinions hearable. And that's a little bit part of what Clean Speech Colorado is about, helping our words to be heard by being hearable, by being non-offensive.
Yeah.
Strong is not our topic, and I suggest that if anyone that's out there and is listening to all the Jewish universal values, they should participate in the educational month that we've got going on.
Let people know
freespeechcolorado.org.
Free Speech Colorado.
They're there for the education. Yeah.
I agreed with you, Rabbi, until you said non-offensive. if offensive is in the eye of the beholder. And we'll probably talk about this and open the lines for people to comment when you're gone, because I know that you've extended yourself in order to have this deeper and more substantive discussion than just talking on the surface. Rabbi, I thank you so much for joining us, and this is an example of two Jews, three opinions. Two Jews talking about the issues in a respectful way, in a passionate way, in a strong way, and mindful of the respect that we have for each other. So I hope you enjoyed it. I surely did. And thanks for joining us. Good Shabbos tonight.
And, thank you very much. You too, Karen. And thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for joining us. You take care, and hope to talk to you again soon. Thanks. That's Rabbi Raphael Liban of Clean Speech Colorado. When we come back until the top of the hour, till we get Christian Toto with us talking about your weekend, what movies you're going to see, I want to ask him about The Irishman. Can't wait to talk to him about that. If you have thoughts about this discussion, about the impeachment hearings, anything we've talked about, open lines till the top of the hour. 866-888-5449. Karen Cataline filling in for Jimmy Lakey here on News Talk 600 KCOL.
Don't write yourself off yet.
Filling in for Jimmy today, here's Karen Cataline.
What an honor it is to sit in this chair and to talk to all of you when Jimmy is taking a well-deserved day off before he prepares to go off to Africa and be a selfish conservative and help orphans and keep his promise to his son, River. I was watching, first off, if you have any comments, not only do you get to comment and call 866-888-5449 up until the top of the hour, but you could get some tickets. You could get a pair. I've got almonds in my teeth. You could get a pair of tickets to see Art Garfunkel on Monday at Lincoln Center in Fort Collins, or you could get some tickets to go to the gun show in at Island Grove. That's where my beloved show dog often shows. I don't show him. You know, I was in child beauty pageants. I don't want to show my dog. And when he's done, we're not going to have another show dog. People ask me, you wrote about a book being a show dog, a show pony, and now you're showing your dog. Well, I don't show him, but he is so gorgeous and he loves doing it. Isn't that what they told, isn't that what parents said about little kids? She loves it. She loves it. Well, our boy loves it. Anyway, I'm looking at the headline as I'm talking to you at the hearings, which, by the way, you don't have to watch because you can see it on YouTube anyway. Former fired ambassador, and I have not been able to listen to any of this yet, but the headline on Fox News says she felt threatened when Donald Trump said to her, you're going to go through some things. Now, I haven't verified that, but she felt threatened. And I'm thinking, this is so classic with the Democrats. I felt threatened, therefore you need to be arrested, held accountable, impeached, whatever. The Democrats, as we know, are all about feelings, but they're all also all about turning our former, God willing, it won't be former, rule of law upside down. So now how you feel requires the government to take action because you feel threatened. You feel something. Where else have we heard that? Well, I feel like my neighbor is a threat to himself or others. Is that person a mental health professional? Guess what? Even mental health professionals can't tell the future. They can't divine the future and say, well, I know this person is going to commit a crime. Now, there are definitely possible dangers. I venture not to use the word red flag because, like everything else, that's been politicized as well. Could this be used to get back at, retaliate against someone you don't like by saying that you think someone is a threat to themselves and or others? Well, of course it could. If I had the time, I would have even more on that. I'd have Steve Reams, I'd have Leslie Hollywood and others who are, all of us, very concerned that a government gives the right, not even the right, but the government encourages and incites people to tell on their neighbors and decide who is and is not a danger based on feelings. This goes directly in opposition to everything we know about due process, everything we know about facts. And as we can see, the Democrats have been, they've been trading in demeaning and destroying our rule of law and our due process, just as we see what's going on right here in this show trial, this ridiculous trial where none of it would be admissible in a court of law. None of it. Since when in a court of law does a judge able to say, you know, someone told me something somewhere? It's stunning and unbelievable that the Democrats think they can get away with this. And that's why the theme is sort of an inadvertent theme. I didn't really expect it. But the theme for this show has been to stand up, to speak out, and to be unafraid of using words. We don't have to be, quote, uncivil, but when the left claims that the use of a word, just the very use of a word like black hole, is racist, then when my friend and delightful rabbi says things like to be unoffensive, what a dangerous term, to be unoffensive. If I worried about being unoffensive, I'll bet you I've offended a whole bunch of people this morning. But if the government is empowered to tell me that I'm required to communicate and express myself in a certain way because I can't be offensive and what I said and my positions on policy are offensive, then that's the end of free speech in this country as we know it. And we must make very clear distinctions between whether you offend somebody, they don't want to talk to you anymore in personal relationships, and whether policy, whether millennials today and others believe that there's such a thing as hate speech. Hate speech means that if I don't like what you say, I can shut you down. And never has speech been under greater attack. This is not the time to say clean up our speech. Yeah, you could be, you don't have to use ad hominem attacks. But guess what? If you use an ad hominem attack, the government doesn't have a right to take away your job or fine you $250,000. You know, it's context, context, context is important here. I got to get going soon to prepare so that we can have a free and clean speech discussion about where you're going to go for your weekend. You can't, you know, man does not live by politics alone. We've got Christian Toto, one of the very few conservative Hollywood commentators. He's going to tell us about the movie The Irishman. I can't wait to talk to him about that. And Robert De Niro. He might even be able to take some phone calls, too, if you wish. So stay tuned until after the top of the hour break. Karen Cataline filling in for news for Jimmy Lakey here on 600 KCOL.